At some point in time, this was understood to allude not merely to an existing historical dynasty, but as I said, to a future heir to the Davidic throne that would appear. He would be the Messiah. And we refer to this then as the coming of a personal Messiah. That is to say, this idea understands the messianic figure as being a particular person, not a spiritual age of messianism, but a particular person. The nature of the future reestablishment of a son of David was also interpreted to mean different things at different times. And there are really, I think the tension here is between two powers that seem to be vying for the upper hand. At times, the emphasis was much more restorative. That is to say, a belief in a return to the old glory of Israel. In other words, when you talk about a messianic king, you talk about a king that will recover Jerusalem, restore the grandeur of Israel to what it was. At other times, the stress is more on a utopian vision of the future as an age of perfect peace. The restorative vision is far more Judaic-centered. It's Judaic-centered, and it looks to the past as its model. The futuristic utopian image, not only does it look to the future, but it's really far more universal. It encompasses all of the nations. And there's another important difference between these two perceptions of the messianic phenomenon. In the restoration, in the restorative account, the process was apparently this worldly. That is to say, the Messiah or the messianic phenomenon would take place in a world whose laws of nature are those that are in practice in our world today. Whereas the utopian image, almost by definition, suggests a total revision of the laws of nature, where animals that are natural enemies would now be friendly neighbors and lie down peacefully one near the other. These two visions did not always alternate and replace one another, but they probably coexisted at times among different elements of Jewish society. And history played a role in determining when the restorative would have the upper hand and when the more spiritualized would have the upper hand. For example, the last military attempt by Jews to remove Roman rule from Palestine occurred in the years 132 to 135 under the leadership of a military leader called Bar Kozhiba. He's commonly called Bar Kokhba, but we know from documents that we found that his real name was Bar Kozhiba. It's fascinating because we found coins that this person minted. His full name was Simon Bar Kozhiba. We found letters that he wrote near the Dead Sea area. We found documents that were written during his rule, his very short-lived rule. And this fellow, Bar Kozhiba or Bar Kokhba, appears to have had messianic aspirations. He was actually described by no less a person than Rabbi Akiva, one of the great rabbis, as being the king, the Messiah, or possibly the potential king and Messiah. But when you examine his image, this is not a great rabbi. This is not a spiritual figure. This is a military commander whose one aim in life is to kill Romans and kick them out of the land. And yet when he strikes his coins, or when he writes documents, he stresses year one or year two to the redemption of Israel. He uses a loaded word, redemption. And redemption conjures up the original redemption from Egypt. In other words, what he is suggesting is, just as you were redeemed from Egypt way back in history, you will now be redeemed again. Bar Kozhiba failed. With his failure, something very interesting happens. The pendulum of messianic thought seems to have swung in the other direction, in the totally opposite direction. From a military, this worldly messianic figure that would restore the grandeur of Israel, it now becomes a much more spiritualized hope. Much more amorphous in many ways. And in many ways, much more universal. And whereas one Talmudic sage actually declared that the only difference between current reality and the messianic era is in that in the latter era of Messianism, Israel would not be subject to foreign rulers. In other words, that it is the political issue that separates our days, our time in history, from the Messianic era. The fact is that as we head into the Middle Ages, Messianism becomes, for many thinkers, much more spiritualized, much more vague. And at the same time, there is a downplaying of activist Messianism.